This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Preseason is officially here. The Erik ten Hag era has officially begun. You are on the road. It's the summer. Still, transfer window's open. United is moving relatively slow. Not relatively slow, very slow, at least if you compare us to our rivals. But United is back on the menu. A burner of a match, 4-0 against the Scouse Bastards in Thailand. Doesn't matter. Talk about preseason. But good to see a style of play and some familiar faces back in that starting 11, sir. You wanted a new 10. You wanted Ralf Rangnick, 10 new guys. That's a familiar 11, but at least some encouraging stuff. How we feeling? How you doing?
Look, 4-0 against the Scouse Bastards. I'll take that any day of the week. Preseason officially underway. I cannot believe it. It feels like you and me were in the away section at Crystal Palace just last week, having a few dark ales and watching this team just lay an egg. They look better than they did against Crystal Palace.
They did.
Hey, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a match, sir. We're talking about preseason here. You have to take it with a grain of salt, but encouraging from United. I saw Jadon Sancho looking fit, ready to go. Bruno Fernandes looks a player. De Gea, sharp. By the way, Martial looks like he could be up for it. You know, you got to test him over the full season. He's got to stay healthy, but you're starting to see like a little glimpse. Okay, people are serious. Rashford, horrible touch. Wet noodle in the final third. That's just what he's been lately. Maybe he can kick that mojo, but the attack, the counter from United looked solid. Palestri, Ahmad playing number nine. I mean, interesting looks from Ten Hag. And then obviously you had the guys who were trying to ship Telles playing center back. I mean, that's just like a see you later move for the preseason tour. Some good things. You can take it away. It's preseason. Like I said, take it with a grain of salt. You beat Liverpool, you got to be happy. Or Manchester United. I just would rather do it when it matters.
Of course. But Rome wasn't built in a day. And Erik ten Hag has a big task at hand. And he's not going to get a tremendous amount of help from the front office around transfers. So his season is going to be largely based on his ability to get the most out of this squad that he has today. This is a familiar 11, like I said, but there were encouraging signs. There was a style of play that was apparent, playing that high line. Like I said, we turned the ball over, pressed. We finally saw it. We were hoping to see it under Ralf Rangnick, and we got to see a little bit of it yesterday against the Scouse Bastard B team in the first half at least. But some encouraging things. Like you said, De Gea playing sweeper keeper, Varane looking good, looking fit. Bruno, Jadon, all players that look like they're ready to play under a proper manager that's going to give them clear instructions, feedback about what they can do better. And they got some of them look like they got the hunger back. So exciting times ahead. Got to be encouraged. Transfers, they're slow going. The boys are flying down to Barca to try out the paella on the promenade, sir, while they do deals and figure out deferred wages owed to Frankie de Jong. But either way, preseason is here. The wife is like, it's been so nice. It's been so nice about United. I get to have all the mornings and the weekends with you. And she's like, when's the season coming back? I was like, well, preseason's here, baby. The season's back in less than a month. So I can't wait. I can't wait to watch United week in, week out. Thursday nights, Europa League. Let's go, baby. We're taking it home this year. I'm calling it. We're taking it home.
My wife said the same thing today.
Yeah.
She's like, it's been nice yesterday. United for like 30 days. Now they're back. It's like, for me, this is the worst time of the season because there is no football. Because as a Muppet, you know, closing the transfer window is like a big deal. And then you're kind of like, just get up for every game. I kind of prefer that mode of the season versus this, like, wake up and see what the numpty police have sent me on Twitter with, like, Murtaugh and, like, you know, Arnold wander around Barcelona, like, no deal, like, you know. And then, like, getting to actually playing the game was great to see. What'd you make of the new kit? Everyone's rocking it. How do you feel? Came out this week. You saw them play in it. I'll tell you. Looks better than a Liverpool kit, at least from my point of view.
I mean, it's not my favorite kit. I am a sucker for a collar. So I do have like a slight bit of fondness just based on the fact that I do like a collar. The Chevy, the lack of Chevy is a big upgrade. I'm not sure about the new guy in the sleeve. Don't know what they do. Don't know their financial viability. I hope we got the money paid up front. I'm sure we did not. But it's all right. You know, there were a lot worse Chevy ones, so could be worse. I don't know the second and third kit. I haven't seen those yet, but the first is, I give it like a B minus. How about yourself?
I'll tell you what. Kits look better when you're winning trophies, and we technically did win a trophy, so I'm going to say.
We did?
I think we got something.
It's like a cooler.
They gave it to Ten Hag and Bruno. I don't know what it was. It looked like a gaming PC. But look, you know, it's not a bad kit. I'm just more worried about the football. I talked about the positives for me. Oh, that left back spot. Shaw got dusted by some 17-year-old no one's ever heard of. Dalot got just turned by Diaz a few times. Center backs held well, and that midfield McFred, you know, obviously that could be upgraded. And you're looking at Martial playing nine, which, like I said, he didn't play bad, but we got to have depth there. And at the moment, Ahmad was playing nine. So we're Manchester United. You need a right back. You need a CDM. You need another number nine if Ronaldo's leaving. Hell, you probably need one if he's not leaving. So for me, as awesome as it was to see the lads play well and win big, I'm kind of looking at Arnold. I'm kind of looking at Murtaugh. Like, here are the deficiencies in the team. You can see it. This is the Liverpool B team. It's going to get a lot harder when we start playing for keeps. So we got a lot of work to do in the transfer market. That is what is making me nervous as a United fan, because I can't bear to watch Martial, Ahmad at nine, and McFred midfield with no backups this season.
It's a great point. You know, it's going to be about a combo of things. It's going to be about Ten Hag's ability to get the best out of the players that he has at his disposal. But at the same time, they need to augment this squad. And it's like, there's some good players in it, but we need reinforcements in midfield. There are question marks all over, all four fullbacks on this team. Exciting that Tyrell was in the mix, showing some promise, but he's a young lad. He's going to take time. Center backs look good. De Gea look good. But there are certainly areas where you need to get replacements. You need to get reinforcements. You lost a lot of players on free transfers. Cavani, Mata, Pogba, Matic. That's a lot of bodies to fill. And like you said, Martial will be, he's a good backup number nine, you know, behind Ronaldo, if he's got the right hunger and the right, you know, attitude towards playing under this new manager and pressing him, you know, trying to get some goals, trying to get back to that 19-goal season that he had way back when. But we need more players. We need more options, because
exactly,
you don't want to be relying on Alanga and Garnacho and Facundo as your options in the right wing, because you know, we have to play Martial up front because Ronaldo might leave. You know, that's taken a little bit put on ice, sir. You know, there's some Saudi rumors now circling with big numbers being quoted. But I have a feeling that's going to go all the way to the end of the transfer window.
Yeah, like I said, you know, what Ten Hag can do on the pitch, I'm confident in. I liked what I saw. I think these players are going to play well under him. But there's no excuse not to add bodies in critical areas that we've been needing for seasons. Midfield, you need it to win. But look, quick PSA for the podcast. We got a preseason pod. I'm actually on vacation with the fam down in San Diego, enjoying a little bit of the beach. And, you know, pod never sleeps. So we're going to be breaking it down here. If you haven't done it already, please fill out our end of the season survey. We love getting the feedback from you, the fans. This pod is for fans by fans. That's what we're all about. We're already trying to incorporate some of the great feedback we got. Fill it out. You can win $100 in American Red Devils merchandise. It's pinned on our Twitter profile. Takes you 5 minutes. You can win some merch. Help us get better. Please fill it out. Also, check out our Discord channel. Tons of transfer muppetry being discussed by the greatest Muppets in all of the land. There's an invite on the website. You can click on it and jump right into the Discord chat. It is awesome. And if you want to support this podcast, we don't have any sponsors. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every month. There's different benefits from scarves, stickers, pins, etc. Please check it out. Your support goes a long way. Small-time operation. Also, check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or a 5-star review of the American Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen to us, is a great way to support the pod. Here's all you have to do. It's a great way to get yourself some free merch. Write a 5-star review on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us, and send a screenshot of that to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear, send it straight to your door. It's a great way to support the pod, help the pod get found by other Muppets and huge fans of Manchester United like yourself. Join the Discord. It is absolutely popping off. It's been the highlight of my summer, sir, other than, you know, spending time with the fam. I love Muppetry season. I can't help it.
I'll tell you, of the signings we have made thus far,
one,
it ain't the highlight.
It ain't.
Let's see. But without getting into transfers first, we're going to talk about the preseason match. I'm going to break down the starting 11. It's been a while since I've done this. Dave Says, world number one in net. We had DeLow, really? Manchester United starting DeLow at right back. We don't have another option. There you go. That's our club. For Ron Lindelof, center back pairing, love to see that. Luke, the impossible meat pie. Shaw, looks like he's running off some of those pies in preseason. We have the McSauce midfield, like, can't get away from this one. Like it is, like, I would have to say, didn't look, Fred, I believe in Fred, but McTominay has to be the backup, you know. Put Frankie in here. McTominay has got to be the backup. Please save us. Somebody. Bruno at 10. Sancho on the right. Rashford on the left. Martial up top. 4-2-3-1. Seen this movie before. What do you make of the lineup?
Can't quit it. That 4-2-3-1 ain't going nowhere. At least with not more additions to the squad. But, hey, this is who has available. Apparently McGuire had a knock, but I did like seeing Varane and Lindelof together. I thought they looked tidy. They looked confident. Both fullbacks are, like you said, got dusted at multiple points in this game against backups. So a lot of question marks there. I have to agree with you. You know, McFred combo, can't quit it. It seems to be the best option we got at the moment. We are very thin in midfield. There's certainly areas where you can upgrade this squad, crying out for it. But that being said, this is a very similar 11 that we're likely to see on day one. Say again?
We lost Matic and Pogba. We haven't signed anybody.
Anybody.
It's like, it's unbelievable. It's like we needed to sign the replacements years ago. And it's like, it's getting thinner and thinner. And oh, by the way, we sold Pereira. He's a midfielder. You could technically play him there.
Technically.
You know, like you can technically like put him there. Like he's a body. Like we just, at this point, our midfield is running like you and me might need to sign up and play for this team because we just need bodies at this point. Jumping in the first half, you want to take us through the highlights?
Absolutely. So the game started hot. It didn't take long for United to get their first unofficial goal of the Erik ten Hag era. In the 12th minute, it was Jadon Sancho.
It falls for Bruno Fernandes. Chips it just above Martial. And then 1-0 United. Sancho pulls the trigger, finds the net. And that's United's first goal in pre-season. And Jadon Sancho scores against Liverpool.
Sir, right kind of instincts you want to be seeing. Bruno with a decent ball in, trying to dink it in between the two defenders. Sancho's there. Back corner. Good goal. Let's go. You know, it's against the B squad. You have to keep saying that. But it was the right type of tempo. They were playing direct when they got the ball. They were pressing high. They tried to move the ball quickly, too, which was good. There was a lot of one-pass football. So 12 minutes. Let's go. On the board.
Good finish. Sancho looked sharp. I mean, I would say the big, big positive here, Bruno, Sancho, they look up for it.
They do.
You know, and if he can hit the ground running, you know, he could have a real season for Manchester United.
He certainly could. He's due. Hot start. Last season wasn't good for anybody, especially not Bruno. But I think under Erik ten Hag, you know, with the right direction and system, he could really thrive, especially if you get the right midfield behind him. Speaking of a player, you mentioned it in the intro that I think will certainly thrive under the new manager, Fred, with a nice dink in the 30th minute. How about that?
Fernandez, lovely reverse ball. Here's Martial. Martial, was he tripped? Martial. Now Fred, the little clip. Fantastic. Brazilian brilliance from Fred. He brings the Rajamangala Stadium to their feet.
Sorry, Fred with a Scholesy finish, just chipping the keeper. You'd love to see it. Hey, a player's playing with confidence. Why not pour it on? We have a tendency to like have players look just absolutely out of their mind. Pereira was famous for that. Even Martial to a certain extent in preseasons past. But nice Fred pushing forward. You saw this a lot in the game. So that's encouraging to see. Scored a number of goals last season. There's no reason that kind of streak of productivity can't continue under the new manager.
Hey, I got high hopes for Fred under Erik ten Hag. I really do think the way he's going about coaching it, the way we're going to play it, I even like the positioning between Fred and McTominay. I thought was a little interesting where one was coming back deeper, one was able to move forward. It seemed to me that Fred was thriving in a system where he actually knew his role. It seems like before he's had too many decisions to make, and there was a lot of uncertainty around where he should be. And so hopefully, you know, Ten Hag providing the system will get the best out of Fred, because, you know, there's a player there. I'm definitely not going to slate Fred. If we're not going to sign that many midfielders. he's going to play well. You know, I believe in it. So, you know, McSauce, I'm not anti McSauce. I just think, you know, he's a young player. He's probably he needs to share the minutes. Play against Carabao Cup. Play McSauce in the Carabao Cup. You're playing against Chelsea or Liverpool, you're going to need like a Frankie or a Neves or somebody who's done it more consistently.
100%. He's made to be a squad player, and there's nothing wrong with squad players, because we're Manchester United. There's a lot of competitions. You're going to need players that can, you know, sub in late, sub in 70th minute, do a job in the box. He can certainly do that. He can do a job, like you said. You're going to need someone who's a little bit more skilled in that possession-based kind of deep holding midfielder role, which we have been crying out for. I mean, I guess Matic has played it, but so we need a new guard. There's a lot of holes to fill in that team. Speaking of, we need a number 9, but Tony Martial is wearing number 9, and he had a goal like a number 9, at least the vintage days. 33rd minute. Here we go.
Oh, that's a bit loose, and Martial is onto it. He's got Rashford to his left. He might not need him. Martial! What a finish! That's what he can do. Anthony Martial with the run and the delightful chip. He just loves it against Liverpool. Anthony Martial at his best there. 3-0.
Uncharacteristic Liverpool defending, if you like.
So nice press from United. Nice press from Martial especially. And then just a good run at speed. Nice dink over Alisson. What's not to like? You know, he's a player that actually looked pretty good in this match, which is exciting to see. There is a player there. I know we've seen it in strokes. Hella inconsistent. And also, you know, the managerial changes, he has not adapted well. But as a squad striker, he's not a bad option. Nice goal from him. And encouraging stuff, right? Because this is going to be like making lemonade, like limoncello out of lemonade. Sorry, it's like we got what we got. He's going to have to make the most of it. So nice finish from Martial. Nice goal.
No, great finish from Martial. He looks fit. Looks like he's up for it. Love it. New manager bump. And, you know, he can't be our only number 9. Like, we're Manchester United at the end of the day. You know, there's money that, you know, apparently Arnold said there's money we have to spend and there's areas where we need to spend it. And there's a lot of question marks outstanding, which are unfortunate. But look, great first half from our starting 11. We were going against Liverpool B team. Yeah, I got to say it. Like you've hit on every goal here. You know, my notes from the first half, the Ten Hag press, it's there. We saw it for a half. You know, the players looked a little tired after the half. I did like that. I thought Fred and McTominay were sharper. McSauce coming deep, Fred getting forward, and vice versa. I thought it was very obvious the different roles they were playing when they had to. And I like the idea of one coming deeper versus both, right? I actually thought that system suited them much better. Counterattack looks sharp. Bruno's fit. Sancho's fit. Martial's up for it. But Rashford, again, doing too much in the final third. Sancho set him up on a plate, and he just, like, scuffed it. That's kind of what we've seen from Rashford. So, you know, give him a game. But just assuming that this front three is going to be able to carry us all year, I think is a long shot. At the end of the day, we do need attacking reinforcements, whether it's Ronaldo or, you know, insert player from the Chinese league here on the last day of the window.
Is Gallo available?
The Liverpool B team did split the press. They did create chances on both wings. I want to say a lot of the times we had trouble when we were being attacked or high up the pitch, and then that Dalot, Shaw first cross coming in, weren't able to stop it. Diaz dusted Dalot, like I said, and when you play for Keeves against the big teams, Dalot's going to be a liability. He's not going to give you that world-class attack going forward, and he's not going to be able to plug the gap. You got Varane there, but at the end of the day, you can only do so much. So you got to sign a right back if you're Manchester United. We saw AWB come out in the second half, and liability is all I got to say about that. De Gea looks sharp. He's earning his wages. So some positives, some negatives on the defensive side, but the pitch was tilted. We were winning it high up the pitch. We had a lot of opportunities. I just think when you play the Liverpool A team and it's during the league, it's probably going to be different than 4-0.
It's probably going to be different than 4-0. Hopefully it's not 5-0 to the bad, like I was so fortunate to witness. But good point, sir. They did press highly, but they were exposed a number of times. You know, we got caught out. The fullback's getting dusted numerous times, just giving the ball away once or twice, and we just were completely exposed. Hitting the post twice from the Scouse Bastards, so they did have their chances. Could have been much closer. A lot of promise on this side, but like you said, if you have Rashford, you're kind of like, we're going to start him for 30 games a year in the Premier League on the left, and he's in a position where, like, you need to drop him because he's not playing well, and players need that, especially when a player is out of form. You have a lot fewer options, especially if Ronaldo's on the way out, because all of a sudden you're putting Sancho on the left, and then you have to pull on one of the youngsters, even Alanga, who's probably not ready to start week in, week out, and just, like, this team needs so many reinforcements. We need reinforcements. We can even think about signing a right back, which you're absolutely right. We do need.
Oh, you have to have this.
They're not going to get it for him. They're not going to get it for him.
Like, if you think of the fullbacks in the league right now, it's one of the most critical positions because 100%. How it augments the attack and how the recovery pace, discipline. You know, you look at the Scouse Bastards. You know, right away, you look at that position and Shitty as well. You can't win the league with Dalot and Telles, you know, or Dalot and Shaw, because Shaw has had injury issues, and it's a clear weakness in this side. And, you know, Malacia doesn't necessarily address it, but, you know, as a director of football, you can see the gaps in this team. And, like, I'm not saying we have to get there this summer. Like, left back, fine. We got it. Right back, you need someone. Like, you have to have a right back this summer. You have to have a CDM this summer. And you have to have a number nine, even if Ronaldo stays. Like, you have to have it. Even if it's a stopgap loan, I don't care. But you got to get these bodies in because you can't have holes in a team like Manchester United. You have to be plugging them and then get to next year and sign the right players. Jumping in the second half here, we had Eric Bailly and Telles center back pairing, which was a riot. We got to see Malacia as well. Tom Heaton came in and featured. Amad Diallo played number nine. He was flanked by Alanga and Pelestri. Wan-Bissaka played right back. Donny played 10. Charlie Savage played in the midfield with Zidane. Sir, you know he had Zidane?
Iqbal.
So kind of a smattering of the B team here. I thought it was interesting. With Ahmad playing number nine, coming out, Telles didn't really do well at center back. Apparently Ten Hag wants to sell him. Malacia playing out the back was really sloppy. Obviously you have Iqbal and Savage and you have Malacia. So it was pretty, and this is like the C team of Liverpool before they actually brought on their real players. Nothing great. I don't think Donny played well. Wan-Bissaka looked bad. Ahmad looked pretty sharp to me in the second half. Baye looked decent, but again, it's not – it's preseason, really. You know, Baye looking good in preseason is not going to – I rate him. He's a good player. It's the injuries. So, those – Elanga kind of along for the ride.
He didn't do much.
I don't know what you thought of it.
No, he didn't stand out. It's all good points. Tyrell is good to see him. Made some mistakes, made some good movements as well. I think there's a player there, but it's a long-term project, like you said. Baye, sir. Like, he's a player if he can stay fit. If he can stay fit, he'd be starting center back for this team because his athleticism, his recovery speed, he made a bunch of big blocks in this game that kept it a 0-0 game. He made a bunch of big recoveries in this game that gave us the 4-0 win. I did think that Facundo looked good. I think Facundo is a player that, yeah, if we're not signing more reinforcements, he's going to be a player that you might have to rely on. And Charlie Savage and Zidane, dude, I thought they did okay, considering they're not ready to, like, come into the squad. They could both use a loan, but they're players. But like you said, that's like the C team for us even, because these are players that used to be filled by, like, less the Pogbas of the world, but more the Matic and Matas. And you realize, like, we relied on Matic more than you think last season. To lose that player and not replace him, and Frankie was just like a player that we needed anyway. So there's holes everywhere. You can't be counting on these youngsters. This level of youngsters that this is effectively our B team is concerning. I'm excited by the promises on these players, but like you cannot expect – it's putting too much pressure on them to expect them to start contribute and play week in, week out in the Premier League. It's just not going to happen.
Well, just look at the Scouse Bastards. Just look at it. Oh, here's a 17-year-old no one's ever heard of. He's like killing it at the right back position. Here, we're playing their B team. Then they got a C team. I haven't even heard of these players. It's unbelievable how deep they are. They got like three squads. You know, we got one at 0.3. We barely get by. It's clearly a depth issue for Manchester United. Because the point is that after Fred and McTominay, who you got, bro? Who's playing in the middle of the park?
You got nobody. You got Donnie.
Donnie's playing 10. He's playing 10, though, right?
And didn't look great, unfortunately. But
no, he did not. No. And then so it's like you got Charlie Savage.
He's like a kid.
It's like obviously you got Eriksen, but that's a 10.
He can't play deeper, but like you said, it's like he ain't even signed yet. You know, it's like we're assuming that's going to get over the line, but it's just you're thin. You're super thin. You lost three midfielders in Mata, Pogba, and Matic, and zero of them have been replaced at the moment. So
you can play Medjbri. You know, you got Garner, right?
Garner, and Medjbri probably next up after Donnie.
But still, it's like. We're a little too thin, but hey, give me the +3 goal and we'll sign off on the preseason. I mean, it's a 4-0 victory. We're getting into like dissecting the depth of the roster for the starting game against Brighton here. You know, we go deep.
We go deep. It was a 76-minute goal from our Uruguayan, and it started from Baye in the back. Here we go.
A little step over for Eric, and he's still going. Eric. He wants to be played in here by Balistri. Instead, it's Ahmad, Palistri! What a goal that is! Length of the field stuff. Palistri makes it 4. And this young Manchester United second half side with a memorable strike.
Well, from looking like they were probably going to just try and, you know, contain this.
So nice interplay from the two players we bought instead of buying Sancho, Facundo and Ahmad. Nice surging run from Baye, and a good goal. And I think one of the encouraging things out of this that kind of mirrors a lot of the other goals and chances we had in this game was high press and then attack right away. Super direct, like everybody pushed forward. And that was something that we all wanted to see under Ralph because that's kind of his legacy as well, what type of manager he likes to instill. That was exciting, you know. Being said, the squad we have, that like there's a style play that's already emerging from game one, even with the B squad. So that's my glass half full, Mark.
All right, sir. Well, you know what? We got a next match, and that is versus Melbourne Victory.
Melbourne.
Friday, July 15th at 3:05 a.m. Pacific.
I expect you up.
I expect
you up.
Don't watch preseason live, especially when I'm on vacation. Then we got Crystal Palace, July 19th, 3:10 a.m. Pacific. Villa, Saturday, July 23rd, 2:45 a.m. Pacific. Atletico Madrid, July 30th, 4:45 a.m. Whew, sir, you know, we do it early here.
Is that back-to-back games? Does that say July 30th and July 31st?
I think the other one might be Europa League.
Really?
I'm looking at the Rayo. I don't know. It's a friendly. Rayo. I've never heard of this team. Vallecano.
Spanish.
That is Liga that
team?
Is preseason. Yeah. So we're doing two back-to-back preseason games. July 30th.
That's wild. That's the weekend before the Premier League starts. Sunday at home against Brighton, sir. That is 3.5 weeks away. That is right around the corner.
And one thing to say, I mean, like, just to recap, you got to give an A to Erik ten Hag, right? You give him an A because you're like, hey, he came in. He's gotten, like, no bodies in. He started work early, right? He came, you have to remember.
Yep.
Crystal Palace, he was there the next day. He's like, I'm not taking a vacation. I'm here. I'm ready to work. I got to get this team sorted. Comes in. They come out. They beat the Scouse Bastards. Jurgen Klopp, 4-0. We look good. On to the next one, and all I'm looking at is help the man out. Like, Erik ten Hag is the man. Like, look at the training, everything he's doing. He's a great coach, and we got to back him. And I'm looking at Arnold and Murtaugh. That's what's making me nervous. I'm not saying that they're horrible at their job. I'm saying you should do the business early. The players should be on the tour with the team. We got to start the season right. We have some winnable games to start. And right now it's looking like we're going to leave it late. And it's going to be scrambled eggs, scrambling, scrambling, scrambling. And that's hard for a coach. It's hard for a coach. Even if you get Frankie and you get him 2 weeks into the season, it's going to be hard. That just makes it more difficult. So starting the season with the 11 that we just played the Scouse Bastards with will be an uphill climb for Erik ten Hag. And look, I back this manager. I just wish we could get some business done a little quicker.
And I had to look, sir, and I totally agree. The window closes on September 1st. So there's like there are still like 7 long weeks to this transfer window. And unfortunately, there are like players that need to be sold in order to buy backups to backups. So this is going to go all the way to the end. Like, I would imagine we're doing business to the 11th hour to try and just get more bodies in, because 100% right. The positive signs for Erik, even the training, it was like encouraging. There was just a level of intensity and focus that you hadn't seen from these boys in a while. And like, they look like they were hoofing and like gassed in a way they hadn't seen. And the guy just looks intense. Like, he has a plan, came early, and is here to bring it. And you just need to give him the tools to be successful. There are great players in this squad, but he needs reinforcements. And I think it's going to run all the way to the end. So we're going to be, like, the season starts as early as it ever has because of the FIFA World Cup in Qatar starting in November, sir. So, like I said, 3.5 weeks, August 7th, we kick off against the Seagulls at home. Can't wait for that, 6 a.m. Compared to 3 a.m., that's easy. And you know what? He's going to have to deal with players coming in late to the mix, and that's the problem. But that's going to be the hand he's dealt, because unfortunately this is Manchester United. Even if they can get signings, it's going to take a while.
Speaking of signings, let's get into the transfer muppetry from Fabrizio Romano heating up right now. Twitter is kind of all alight here. Sandro Martinez from Romano. Manchester United executives now back in England in order to get final approval by the board on payment terms and agreement for Lisandro Martinez. Talks in final stages tomorrow. New direct negotiations. Personal terms are 100% agreed. Sir, you get access to the player. You agree terms of the player. You close the deal with Ajax. It sounds like Lisandro Martinez will be playing for Manchester United. Hopefully we'll get him out to Australia shortly. What we've been following, he's went back from vacation to Ajax to push for the move. He wants United. He wants Ten Hag. 5'10", Argentinian, left-footed center back, looks to be a proper player, done a job in the Champions League. He absolutely locked down Holland. What do you make? top tier center back coming into Manchester United. Can't hate that.
Can't hate it at all. You know, 24-year-old, like you said, 5'9". Maybe if you're generous, you're rounded up to 5'10". I always could appreciate that extra inch. Dude, he's a player. He knows what Erik ten Hag expects, his playing style. Obviously, if we're going to get one player out of Ajax, this is the player he wants. And I think the fact that if you look at where he's comfortable playing in both center back positions, left back, and CDM. And it's like, well, Frankie, that thing has hit the skids. We'll talk about that in a second. So the fact that, hey, we need a center back anyway, a backup if we're going to ship by or Phil Jones. And you also certainly need someone who can kind of be a stopgap in midfield. I think that probably pushed the hand of get this goddamn deal done. And I'm glad they did. This is an exciting deal. They're paying top bucket. It's like £50 million pounds fully loaded. But he does rate the player. You should know him. He played under him. So I'm getting behind fully behind the new man. And he's our DOF. Dude, if this is who he wants, then this is who he gets.
We're overpaying.
100%.
You know, so I said something. So the new
ARD rule is
American Devils rules. I said something nice. Now I can. We're overpaying. And it feels to me, and this is like when I'm the director of football role at a club like Manchester United, like a club like Brighton, or you know, their recent director of football who just left and went to Newcastle, or any top tier director of football at Shitty or whatever. It's like they look at the squad and they figure out what we need. And I just think that Murtagh right now is just doing whatever Ten Hag wants. And that reminds me of LVG. It was LVG just shopping and picked all these players, brought them all in. And then how did that go over the long term? And it was very difficult, right? Because director of football needs to plan over 10 years, over 5-year contracts, plus an option, et cetera. And that position needs to be a little more, have the long view versus Ten Hag, just like, I need a guy today. This feels to me like shading more to the Ten Hag side, because if I was a director of football and I looked at what Manchester United need right now, like I mentioned, right back, CDM, and a striker, like that to me are the top areas we got to plug. Another center back, if I was director of football, I'd be like, I can't buy one until we sell two. You know, you got to sell somebody before you make this move. And so I just don't – for me, it's more of a priority issue. I think he's a great player. Can he do it in the Premier League? I don't know. That's a big price. That price says he can. So that price tag says you better do it. And then you're kind of have a lot of center backs now. You know, if he could play right back as well, I think that'd be a different story. He does provide left back cover, but now we have three, so we definitely don't need more left back cover. He can cover CDM. That is much more interesting to me. But at the same time, this screams a little bit like, is this what Manchester United need right now? And the answer is, you could probably get by with Harry, Varane, Lindelof, Bailly. You haven't ditched Twan Zabe yet, and you got Philly Jones. So there's a bunch of center backs at United.
I totally agree. I mean, it's a good point. You'll take them as long as you're getting six players this summer. You know, this is 1-2 now with Tyrell. You get four more in those positions that you spoke out about 100%, then it's a different story. I think this is like their number one target. They just flew down to Barcelona like a bunch of goofballs, and that didn't go very well, apparently, because Frankie like hasn't even agreed to joining United, according to Fabrizio. So this is a player that you can get done. You have a friendly Ajax. They probably greenlit one player. You can sign one player. This is the player he wants, and it's achievable. And they need achievability at this point because he is the DOF. He's telling them who to sign, which has its shortcomings. I like to think he's going to do a better job of player recruitment than LVG, he better, or we're in real trouble.
No, it's a balance. So the whole thing is, to me, it's a balance. It would be like, it's understanding where the core issues are for the team, and then saying, okay, we really need a CDM. And Erik ten Hag's like, I really want Frankie. And you give him 6 weeks to try to get it done. And you're like, all right, man, we're going to get Tielemans, or we're going to get Neves. Like, you just have to say, hey, we tried. we got to move forward. The team needs somebody. We can't leave it late. We got to move on. And like, that's the tough love director of football down to the manager. And the tough love would be like, hey man, we have too many center backs. Like, he's a great player. We can't buy one until we sell one. And I'm working on that. Right. That's more of the conversation. So it's like those two have to work together. And right now this feels more of like Erik ten Hag wants Frankie. They're just going to keep trying to sign Frankie. Erik ten Hag wants a center back, despite our roster being overloaded in that position. They're going to do it. And so it's just more of a balance. And so if I was director of football, I'd be like, hey, we have too many center backs. We're dying for a right back. You know, unless you want to play AWB, like we need a right back at Manchester United. And then obviously Ten Hag can give that list to the director of football, who can try to go for it. But I just see, like, this looks like Ten Hag is running the show. And I don't mind that. It's just, there seems to be a lack of balance, because we should have moved on from Frankie, you know, and we probably shouldn't be signing a center back. Like, if the director of football is really world-class and understands what this team needs, these decisions aren't being made in the right order.
No, I agree. Cause you have to move at least two center backs to kind of make up bench space and cash for right back midfield. I think this was like, we're moving slow as molasses, because that's Manchester United's tactic in the transfer window. And Arsenal, we're going to get this player. And this is a player like, oh shit, our number one signing, not going to plan, it's taking forever. Well, this player can also do a job, and I do need another center back in theory if I can move these other ones. So I think this was an opportunistic signing. He was able to use his pull, right? He wants to play under his manager that he's played with before. He was player of the season last year for Ajax. He is a player. Now the translation to the Premier League is a big one, and he's a wee lad, and it's a big, physical, strong league. He's a good tackler. He's a great progressive passer of the ball, which certainly would be useful in midfield. But like, I totally agree with you. But it's like, we're grasping at straws, and we need friggin' bodies.
Would $50 million be better spent on a striker right now? You know, like,
on an out and out midfielder. I would just get like an out and out CDM. Like, hold it. Like, you can't get Frankie. I get like next Frankie, and if that's Neves for $50 million. Dude, he's Premier League proven. He's not the best player in the world. He's not Declan Rice, according to the English pressers. But he'll do a job, and he's Premier League proven, and he's got a banger in him. And, you know, we could have a Portuguese, Dutch, English mashup. I think this is just like a deal that could get done. And they know Ajax will structure the shit out of it, which they're going to need, right, because they don't have a lot of cash. That's kind of speaks to like a, you know, this was deals moving anyway. He was going to be a gunner, and they kind of like swooped in and stopped him from becoming a gunner, because he was definitely going to Arsenal if we didn't pick him up.
I think you're right. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it basically has to do with like, A, Ten Hag knowing how good of a player he is. B, the fact that Arsenal was probably sniffing, he was probably going to go. And so that combination made us make a jump for him. Look, I think he's going to be a baller. The question for me is, Maguire is now the captain. So he ain't not playing. And so it's Maguire and Lisandro Martinez. And then Varane's getting paid how much money to sit on the bench?
He gets injured a lot.
So I just feel like we're a little deep in this position. We shall see. But if Erik ten Hag says this guy's going to run it, and maybe Erik ten Hag's thinking that he can provide CDM cover. Now, if that's an element to this deal that could change the whole game, if this guy will play CDM. And if he plays CDM, he probably would be a baller CDM. That's what I mean.
He's made to be a CDM.
Here you go. Boom. So, look, I like the player. At the end of the day, screw the price, whatever it is. Hey, it's a good player. We get better. Boom. It's happening. I'm excited as a Muppet. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves around. What's the front office doing, and how are these deals coalescing? Because it seems like the order of operations is a little bit backwards. Speaking of order of operations, we're going to talk about Frankie DeJong.
Who?
Per Romano today, Frankie DeJong's agents, Ali Dursun and Hassan, can't even pronounce that last name, have informed Barcelona Frankie has no intention to leave. Also, Frankie and agents are not accepting any salary reductions at Barcelona or talks related to that. Manchester United are also informed, deal now stalling. This is from Fabrizio Romano. Now,
today, right?
I woke up. I got this tweet. I am not happy at all, because this is just, you know, this from the Muppet perspective. What are we doing?
I know.
Player doesn't want to leave.
Mid-July. It's mid-July.
Okay. Frankie De Jong to Manchester, like you talk about Lisandro Martinez pushing the move to Manchester United. I love that. So whatever I said about the order of operations, player wants to play for us, that's the guy I want at United. What has killed us in the past? Big money players who come for the money. They don't want to play for United. Sanchez, like go down the list of all these Pogba. I think he wanted to play for United, then it didn't go his way, and then it became about money. It just this type of just bloated contracts. Like Frankie, it seems to me he wants to stay at Barcelona. The only way that he'll move to Manchester United is because he doesn't want to take a pay cut. You know, so he might be using United like Ramos did to put pressure on Barcelona. Everything he said is he wants to stay at Barcelona. We haven't agreed terms with him yet. And so it feels like it's a really big risk to be running a saga like this with a player like this, because at the end of the day, he could just be fucking with us to get Barca to pay up. And that could be the whole ruse here, and we're left holding the bag. Our boys are in Barcelona's eating paella for no reason.
Sorry, I'm sure it's lovely. You know, we've been there in July. It's lovely. A little crowded, Torres does. But like you said, it's a bold move. This is a position that we know we need to fill. We lost two of them, two players that could do the job in Pogba and Matic. And you go ham, hog, all in on one player, and it's such a fucking complicated deal. Like, he had deferred wages during COVID, and he was willing to take a pay cut because Barca has been, like, somehow run worse than Manchester United. And I think deferred, like, half of his wage for each season, and now they owe him, like, £17 million, like, this season, which is, like, I think, over 2x his normal salary. And they don't want to pay it, so they're like... So it's just more complicated by the fact that, you know, Barca are kind of a forced seller, but also don't want to make him whole. So, and he wants to get his money because he took a pay cut, and that's what they agreed to. And Barca are being shady operators, and we're going, this is kind of like our whole transfer window is around shoring up this one position that we've obviously highlighted. We need a Frankie. I'm not sure we need Frankie, but we need a Frankie equivalent because it's crying out. But you've wasted half a transfer window, and if you don't get him, then you're on the back heel, and you've already lost players like Bissouma, who could do a job for a fraction of the price. He's less than half. Sorry, he went for, what, 25? He'd do a job.
Sometimes you got to, you know, you just... I relate it to, like, the dating game here. It's just, like, we're so far down this rabbit hole. Sometimes you just got to... You got to zoom out.
Too, like, thirsty.
You got to zoom out and be like, what are we doing here?
I know.
Like, what are we? If I'm these guys,
look at that photo.
Like,
of them
first of all, no, I know, just like walking on Las Ramblas, you know,
yeah, having a good time.
Arnold's buying a pair of Folkleys here, looking pretty smooth. It's one of those things where it's a moment in time where you gotta, like, just like everyone's gotta take a deep breath. These guys are running this football club. It's the CEO and the director of football at Manchester United is strolling down the street in Barcelona. Like, you know, it. You and me talk to
I know,
each other.
Bro. Like, you got to get this deal done. If
you
go,
you and me talk to each other, and I just said, I was like, those guys walking around Barcelona, that ain't a good sign.
No, you got to be in a black car, getting dropped off.
No,
you're busy as shit.
No, it's not. That,
look, they're strolling, bro.
No,
look, they're having a post lunch stroll before they go take a siesta.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, if I was running things at Manchester United, I would be in Manchester. I don't need to be in Barcelona. Like, that seems like a Hail Mary move to me. And this is just reading the tea leaves. If you're, like, desperate trying to get a deal done, you would show up there. And if you're, like, confident trying to get a deal done, you wouldn't be anywhere near there because you'd be working on the next deal. Right? The deal would already be done. You'd be like, all right, things are locked up. We're good to go. I'm in Manchester. I'm already on the next thing. We got to sign a striker. We got to deal with Ronaldo. There's so much going on. How could you be flying out to do this? But why are we here? It's like, Frankie is going to demand a ton of money. He had a bad season for Barcelona last year. Barcelona want to sell him. The question is if the player wants to join. It's always been that way. From the beginning, it was Barcelona have to sell a player. He makes tons of money. He's a great player to get off the books. And oh, by the way, here we are as Manchester United. And the question mark all around him was, does he want to play for Manchester United? And that's never been answered. So at the end of the day, his agents are coming out playing hardball. It could be This could be 4D chess. They could be there and they have a very confident deal and the agent's playing hardball with Barca and this is all BS and we're going to sign him and lock it up. Now, that could make more sense because why the hell are we spending so much time on him? And if this falls through and we don't get Frankie de Jong, this is like, talk about egg on your face for Manchester United. I mean, like, what are we doing? I think we should have moved on to the next midfielder a month ago, honestly. Can't be playing tit for tat. This is like when Sergio Ramos wanted to come, I knew he was negotiating for a new deal.
That was so obvious, of course.
So this seems like a leverage play from Frankie, in my opinion, because that's why he's like flirting, not a lot of nothing. That's the vibe I get. Some people think Murtaugh and Arnold are geniuses and it's all done and dusted and they're all, and this is just like a ploy by his agents to play hardball on the wage side with Barca. And that could be a viable way to look at it. I think for me, seeing those guys in Barcelona tells me we're the ones who are desperate.
Yeah, you can look at it a couple of different ways. I totally hear what you're saying. Sometimes it takes like showing up in person and pushing the deal over the line if you're at the 5-yard line truly and you're just kind of haggling over 5-10 million. This is the case where, hold on a second, sir. This is the case where they owe him 17 million euros and they don't want to pay him 17 million euros. They just don't. They want him to be like, fuck you, take it. Have United pick the difference up. They're trying to leave him with a bag and maybe that's a part of it. But if you go down there twice and you let this much time go, and you know these two Premier League players, bro, you ain't getting Tielemans or Neves for 25, 30 million. You're going to have to pay 50 easy. And, like, you know how much Leicester likes to put us over a barrel for Tielemans. And I think he's even in, like, his last year of his contract. They'll still take us for at least 50 million pounds. And then you're a forced buyer. They know you're desperate. And it's just, like, it's a bad situation. So you've gone all in on Frankie. I hope that this is just, like, what they needed to get the deal done. But last minute posturing is possible.
You don't have negotiation with the player. You don't have terms with Frankie. You don't have the whole point is if you had terms with Frankie and this was just Barca holding, like I believe Fabrizio Romano would be able to tell us that he heard it from his agent about that he wants to stay. He would know if player terms are agreed. We don't have that. So if it was just like we agree with the player, he wants to go, and Barca are being like hardball about the wages, that'd be a whole nother look. And look, this has been going on for a long time, too.
That's true.
So if it wasn't at the end stages and it was this way, like, you know, some people are speculating, like, we would know more about it. Like, we would know, like, Frankie wants it to go, wages are done, Barcelona just being the problem. Like, that is literally what we would hear. I don't think there's 40 chess going on. I think we, like, literally are on the mission to get Ten Hag this player. We look desperate. Those guys are walking around Barcelona looking desperate.
And, they look desperate.
And today it's tweeted out like he ain't coming. So he can still come. Crazy things happen. But if he does come, I always question if he wanted to come because it doesn't sound to me like he wants to leave. Because if he did, you would hear from Romano, like Lisandro Martinez, player pushing a move. He's at Ajax. He wants to leave. Like, those are what you hear when the player wants to go.
Wants to play with Erik ten Hag. That's part of the draw.
No,
it's true.
He doesn't want to leave.
I'm hoping this is posturing, but the fact that he's like, he doesn't want to leave and they're not calling it out as Barcelona unwilling to pay him.
He said in
wages.
The press conference.
No, I agree.
He said in the press conference, I don't want to leave. I'm at the best club in the world. It sounds to me like he wants to stay at Barcelona and get paid a lot
of
money.
So time to move on.
That's what it sounds like.
Time to move on, right? Better Premier League proven player. I'm all about that. You know, I think I always thought Frankie was kind of a punt because he hadn't had the most stellar career at Barca in the first place playing La Liga.
It's just like he's top dollar.
Top dollar. It's like spend 40 on Ruben.
Dude, here's the thing. The Matrix is doesn't know if he wants to play for United. Yeah. He's going to get paid a ton of money. And he is on bad form. Why would you want to go near that player? And the answer is to Erik ten Hag wants him. So maybe the director of football needs to push back on him and tell him, hey, we got to go get Tielemans or Neves. But we got to get somebody. At the end of the day, as a fan.
Who'd you want of those two? Who'd be your preference? Ruben or Yuri? Neves?
Neves.
There you go.
Both. Yeah. Both. Because we're Manchester United. Both. And by the way, we got to replace Paul Pogba and Matic, so we should get both. Eriksen should be done soon. Medical has been scheduled per Romano. The Ronaldo watch. Apparently, Chelsea, Tuchel doesn't want him. The American owner wants a flashy signing. He wants him. who knows? I doubt that's going to materialize. You had the Saudi rumors. PSG is rumored to say no, but then everyone said that's unreliable. Bayern's already said no, but apparently Mendes is going back to Bayern. There's nothing on the Ronaldo front as of late. When Saudi rumors are coming out, you know Mendes is like...
He's spinning plates, dude. 50 million.
Dude, he's working hard. He's working really hard, and there ain't nothing out there. And that's the question is, how bad does Ronaldo not want to play for United? Oh, my God, right?
I think he'd rather play for Manchester United than some unknown Saudi team. Imagine it's pretty hot, sir. Those games are pretty hot. They probably play at like 2 in the morning.
I'll tell you, Ronaldo doesn't like to lose. And Ronaldo, every time he wants to leave, he usually leaves. And the only time that he wasn't able to leave was when Sir Alex Ferguson kept letting him stay.
And he only deferred it a year, right? Because he did end up leaving. But he kept him for one more year, won the league again.
And Ronaldo was like, I want to leave Juventus, and boom, big deal done. He says, I want to leave United, and there's nothing. That's an L. And Ronaldo's going to have to come back to United after trying that move. I don't know if that's going to be good for United.
No, you're right.
I don't know if that's going to be good for Ronaldo.
Like a pissed off Ronaldo that doesn't want to be there.
He's such a professional to do well on the pitch. And by the way, like, there was opportunities today that were if he was playing, he would score. Like,
he'll score loads of goals. He'll run when they do, like when they turn the ball over, and all he has to do is sprint for 30 yards. He'll score loads of goals under this manager and with this team.
Think about that. September 1st, dude. We're gonna hit, like,
I know, bro. Ronaldo, I told you seven more weeks.
Does he come
of this
back
shit
for Brighton? Does Ronaldo come back for Brighton?
No. I don't think he comes back. I don't think he comes back until the window's closed.
All right, jump into the fan questions. We had some spicy ones. At Jamie Clayton, stop the vote. What a performance by Sancho in the first and Bailly in the second half. Manchester United playing 3D chess with the world by bringing in a Dutch mastermind, signing nobody, and bringing back Tony Martial to lead us to Zion. Hashtag Blazers out.
That's a great tweet. That's great. Martial.
3D chess.
Signing nobody this summer. Hey. We do. I certainly agree with one point. Dutch mastermind. I think Erik ten Hag is a real deal, and just give him the tools to be the most successful. He'll get out a lot. I think he'll get a lot out of this squad, but it's a competitive league, and it's only getting more competitive. And we got glaring holes to fill.
At JASmith99111, quote: I know it's only preseason, but I like the signs of better fitness, discipline, and coordination. With that said, we desperately need more signings, need more depth and talent in midfield and up top. I feel like you read my mind there, Jason. At D_Cole18, quote, I've said it his entire career with us, the moments of madness included. If Bailly stays fit, he's by far our best center back. He does so much. Give me Bailly, Martinez, and Lindelof, plus Varane. I'm content with our center backs. Erik ten Hag, revival of our club is now underway, and we must back him and get business done. Look, the fans.
Positive. I love it.
But they're like, it's exactly what we said. Great game.
More.
Show
more.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Yeah, where's the money,
where's
Lebowski?
The money, Lebowski? That's like, it. Need the signings.
Where are they at?
Like, need the play. It's like, we said it at the beginning of it. This is going to be a tough window. You know, there's not a lot of money out there. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, I don't overreact, but 21 is coming. Some promising signs, De Gea coming off his line, Martial pressing, and Iqbal looks like a player. No coincidence, the high line looks better without Harry Magoo.
Harry Magoo.
I like that.
That is amazing. Name. That is the
That's
new
name.
That, whenever he plays badly, he's Magoo.
Harry Magoo. At Ty Kircher, early Erik ten Hag days, energy and coordination seem better, attacking seem purposeful, more than lackluster, and Pod's first trophy. Let's see what happens when Harry comes back and if Ronaldo stays. The pace and attack suffers at all. Good fun start. That's a good point. It's like, I feel like you put Harry Maguire in it. I like the idea that Harry Maguire and Ronaldo don't like each other. I just like that so much because, like, here's the greatest footballer of all time, and then you have, like, the only guy that, like, thinks he's better than the greatest footballer of all time in Harry Maguire.
I don't think he thinks he's better. He just thinks he's better than he is.
I think he's pretty good. I think he thinks he's pretty good.
He's a big deal, sir. He plays for England. Did you know
he's
he plays
like,
for
I'm
England?
The captain. Sorry. Why would the coach make me the captain if I'm not better than Ronaldo?
There you go. Because Ronaldo wants to
That's
leave.
That's how smart
Ronaldo wants to leave. That's why.
At you, Boson, quote, being good in preseason is always a bad
it's
sign.
That's true. That is true. If you looked at the last, like, yeah. 7 seasons, it's like the better we play in preseason, the worse we do.
And that's one a good point, and I can't believe I haven't hit on that, is that there is no – like, I've watched preseason for a long time for Manchester United, including going to games in the States. There is zero correlation with preseason and the season. There is none. You want to think there is. It's the only thing you can say is, hey, Sancho came in after Euros, wasn't fit, and you saw how that went. Now he looks like he's dialed in. Like, that's all you can say. Is like certain players are poised for a good start, but how they're going to finish, you don't know. Like Martial could have good 3 games and then, you know, back to the 15.
But the fitness is encouraging. The tempo, like the work rate, like that is something we haven't seen in freaking years, even under Ole. So that is encouraging, but you need more than just
not
that.
It was not full. It wasn't quite testimonial pace, but it was not.
It wasn't EPL.
It was not. It takes 4 games to really get going in the league as well.
Oh yeah,
like
a month.
It does take a few games. Last week here at I Note It All, quote, coming soon, the American Devils blog title is, it's already over, Manchester United winning the quadruple. We're not the Scouse bastards, you know. We don't talk about winning the quadruple until we've at least locked up the league and the Champions League, right? Or like the league.
We've locked up the league. We've locked up the league. Either way, I like the optimism. I feel like the optimism is back on the pod. It's good to hear it from the fans. Everybody wants to see good football, exciting football, high work rate, enthusiasm from the players that will translate into enthusiasm from the fans. We know we have it. So a lot of encouraging signs. And I know it doesn't translate. You're absolutely right. But they seem to be running. No. We haven't seen these boys run in years. And some of them, I'm not sure they're going to be able to pick up and keep up with the pace. But there are definitely players, the Brunos, the Sanchos, the Varans, the De Gea's, who are going to shine under this new manager, and that gives me hope.
I'll tell you what, that was night and day compared to what we saw. I don't know how many days ago it was, but it was 45 days ago, or maybe 60 days ago, when we saw them play Crystal Palace, and none of them wanted to be there.
None of them.
And, you know, one of the most Magoo of all Magoos, Harry Magoo, looked horrific that game.
Mr. Magoo.
Like, the body language, everything about it. And the fact he's captain, which I even heard that it's for the rest of the season, that one hurts a little bit.
We need his own section. We save this for the post fan questions, sir. We should have highlighted this in the news. But
I don't want to. For me, it's like, I actually think, you know, it's hard to just like,
you
not
get one
just
refrain.
Kill the guy.
You got to, otherwise, we could talk for 20 minutes to Harry Maguire. Give me your position.
I'm trying to think about how to be nice about it.
I'll start. Why don't I start? You give me your rebuttal.
Being the captain. Yeah, you start.
My thinking is this. It's like the obvious choice was Ronaldo. He wants to leave. You can't do him. He hasn't had enough time with a squad yet to be like, this is the new captain. So the default easy answer, someone asked him, who's the captain? He's going to puff up his player. He's not in good form. He hasn't played well. I think you don't rock the boat at the moment, and you can always change things. It's not like it's like, oh, it's set in stone. He's the captain. You can't change it because you said he was the captain. And if he's undeserving of the captaincy, he'll lose it. And also, like, if he ain't good enough to start in this starting 11, he ain't going to be captain like he was yesterday, right? Who's next in line? Bruno Fernandes. I'm okay with that. Bruno, you know, he's got to make sure he doesn't win so much to the refs. But, sir, he's got to earn it. And the only way you're captain is if you're in that starting 11. And the fact that we're signing another center back means there's no guarantee he's going to be in that starting 11. So why rock the boat?
No, it wasn't a caveat to captain. You know, I think Simon Stone said Harry Maguire will be a captain for this season. Obviously, it can change. I think somebody said Erik ten Hag had the players vote. So, like, it could change. The problem is him making Harry Maguire the captain just, like, by default is kind of what Rangnick got into it as well, where changing it now hurts the team, where, you know, Harry's not going to do anything to, like, necessarily, like, lose the captaincy. But if you – for me, the key element is, like, the off-the-pitch – his interviewing was atrocious, like Greece. social, like liking the post about Ronaldo, whatever. It's more of an accumulation of things, like him drinking out and getting caught, like taking photos with fans when Ole was fired. Captains don't do that. And I just don't think the intangible element of the captaincy is a good look for the team, because like all the things we complain about like them being social media FC and not having their, you know, feet on the ground, you know, all like him sharing the highlight reel of himself on his social media when like we're playing horribly and he's like one of our worst players, just being tone deaf. The team needs somebody like Bruno could do it. De Gea could do it. The reason why I personally think he cannot be captain is because I watched him play in that Crystal Palace game, and that's the last game of the season. The players come over to the fans and clap, and the number one person that looked ashamed about how the team performed and was embarrassed to even face the fans and it killed him inside was Bruno Fernandes. Like, that player cares so much about this team. Harry Maguire looked like he couldn't be bothered. He barely even came over to the fans. Like, it doesn't bother Harry Maguire, you know. And I think as a captain, they have to go the extra mile. They have to, you know, be a leader and just care to that extent. I think Harry's kind of like, cashed in, man. I'm Harry Maguire. I'm great. You know, that's kind of the vibe I get from him a little bit. Like, if he was a little harder on himself, maybe, you know, a little more introspective, he could be that guy. But I think he doesn't get it. So he could use a Bruno motivating. It's too much for him, man. Interesting decision by Ten Hag. We'll see how it goes. It's just the captaincy, but the captaincy of Manchester United should be a big deal. And I just think it just breeds mediocrity with him having the armband.
There you have it, sir. That's the way to wrap the pod. We will see. I think it's too early to rock the boat. Like you said, I don't disagree with a lot of the stuff you said. He's not going to win the Premier League as your captain. Maybe
as
a center back.
For a spot.
It's a big role. It's a big role. It still matters. It still matters to be the captain of Manchester United. This is the greatest club in the world.
But imagine the captain fighting for his spot. Like, Harry Maguire, in my opinion, is fighting to play. And he's a captain of Manchester United.
He's got more competition. Captain of Manchester United. We're signing Lisandro Martinez. He's got more competition.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't even start. I know he had a little bit of a knock, but like, I'd probably start Varane and Lindelof before him at the moment. They look pretty good together. So, sir, I don't think it's set in stone. I think things can change. You get an injury all of a sudden, and it's like, you know, Bruno's your new captain, and I think he's the player that probably made sense all along. As soon as he came in, he looked like a captain.
But I do agree with the Ten Hag move, not ruffling feathers, but as a fan watching him all year, it's brutal to have.
It's even worse in person. That giant head, and he's just so slow. He's so slow, and he got caught out so many times last season that, so it can't be worse this season. So
you can forgive a player who doesn't play well, who's trying their best and is like aware of it. Harry Maguire's attitude about when he's playing horrible is literally like, why would the coach start me if I'm not good? Like, that's what he said.
I know. Like, sir, like, wrap it. Like, I know. He's a dope. You know, he's a Magoo, bro. Like, he's a Harry Magoo.
Like a dog, and he's like, I don't know. My head's not in it. Like, I'm trying my hardest. I'm going to be back. He says all the right things. Like, I would not be slating Harry Maguire. It's the fact that he's just like, I'm great. I'm Harry. Like, let's go to Greece, baby. Like, he's just out of it, bro. It's like, all right, wrap the pod.
For Harry.
Five fans. Love it. Pod. You know, like us on iTunes, 5 stars, etc. Check out our website, AmericaDevils.com. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/AmericaDevils. Give us our top $10 last 7 days, Alex.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Grand Rapids, Michigan. Appreciate you. Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Morristown, New Jersey. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Cupertino, California. Elk Ridge, Maryland. Ajax, Canada. Maybe it's Ajax, Canada, sir. I don't know. Brisbane, Australia. Lexington, Kentucky. And last but not least, Marabu, Malaysia. Appreciate you. We also got Dublin on the board. Appreciate you.
Let's go.
Lutton, Norway, sir. American Red Devils around the world. Appreciate all of you. Seriously, listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Sir, the season's coming back, baby. I'm getting excited because, damn, we got 3.5 weeks away from Brighton at home. We're going to be battering the Seagulls with McFred, bro. Frankie ain't going to be nowhere to be found. Last day of the window if it's going to happen. McFred till I die, baby. Take us to the top four, Thomas Lane.
Save me. Save me. Make Fred the captain, baby. Let's go. He's got $1 million smile. He's got a good attitude.
He does have a good attitude.
It's a player that has a good attitude, dude. I like Fred. I like Fred. Just don't pass it to the other team in our own third. So play us out with whatever song you got. Everybody have a great summer. Transfer him up a tree. On and onwards and upwards. We'll get you another pod next Wednesday.
Talk to you next week. Enjoy it.